On the big Mizrahi weekend of inspiration, so we are privileged to have Moshe with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I apologize about being late. My travel plans were not under my control. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So I have a question for you. Okay, Sunday night. What's your name?
Rachel.
Sunday night, Rachel. You go to sleep, and you have a dream. And Hashem himself, Rachel, comes to you in a dream and says, Rachel, you've got 24 hours off from religion. You could do the next 24 hours whatever you'd like. No punishments, no rewards, no accountability. 24-hour furlough from religion. Do whatever you want. Let it rip. What's your name?
Sam.
Sam, 24 hours. You know, in the United States, in some of these backwater communities, there's a group of people called the Amish. I'm sure you've seen them in movies and culture. So when you're 16, 17, you're expected to leave the fold and taste the waters and sow your oats just so that you opt in voluntarily. It's called Rumspringa. And what happens in Rumspringa stays in Rumspringa. No one's going to know. So you've got, Rachel, Sam, 24 hours of Rumspringa, in which no schar, no onesh. You're off. You've got 24 hours free. What would you say? Everyone ask yourself that question. You don't have to tell me the answer. But what would you say? Hashem himself has given you 24 hours. You can eat whatever you want. You can touch whatever you want. You can act however you want. You can travel wherever you want. No consequence. Pretty good deal. 24 hours furlough. Do what you like. Let me tell you my answer. But it's not just my answer. I promise you. What's your name? Talia. It's Talia's answer, and it's Rabbi.
No, Rabbi, it's Mark.
And I'm sure it's Aviva's answer. If Hashem made me that offer, I wouldn't change a thing. I get up in the morning, pull myself out of bed, try to study His will, try to change the world, try to raise my family, try to build my people in their country. Because I don't see religion as suppressive and suffocating, and I'm carrying this heavy burden. It's heavy, but some things that are heavy are worthwhile carrying. Because it lends my life content, and it lends my life meaning, and it lends my life purpose, and I'm living for something larger than myself. I'm willing to die for three things. This is the Parsha's Emor, about Kiddush Hashem, V'nekidashti, B'toch B'nei Yisrael. In a second, I would die for my God. In a second, I would die for my family. And in a second, I would die for my people. Now, that's just another way of saying that's what I live for. I don't want to die. I hope I don't die soon. But those are the things I live for. I don't live for myself. I don't live for my comfort. I don't live for a nice car. I don't live for a big padded salary. I made that choice. I wouldn't have chosen the life I chose. I chose a life to live beyond myself. I've got circles and ideals beyond myself. My family, my God, my people. And if I'm really honest with myself and passionate about that, then you have to pay the price if you're asked to. I hope you don't have to pay the price. You have a death wish. When guys leave yeshiva and I have their exit conversation, I say, one of the questions I'll ask you in 20 years when I see you walking down the street is, what ideals do you lead your life by aside from yourself? Like, what do you live for aside from yourself? That's called an idealistic lifestyle. If you're in this world just to get wealth, just to get comfort, just to get a nice couple dresses, to get a nice home, what are you living for? It passes, it fades. It's got to be something more. So if Hashem made me that offer, 24 hours, I'm not changing anything. I don't see religion as this. Olam Haba is pretty long. I mean, it feels long, but this world, it's going to come and go. One day you'll bump into me in the next world, maybe 20 million years down the line. Say, hey, Rabbi, I met you that cloudy day in May 2019. I know you, Rabbi Tarrigo, we saw each other. You looked a little different then. What, you have this thing on your head called, what was it called again? Hair, right, it's hair, right? That stringly thing, right? It's, man, it's 20 million years ago. Who can even remember what those things were? Yeah, how do we get that thing called oxygen into our, help me out here, Rachel. Lungs, right? We breathe this oxygen, it was colorless, and you couldn't, nose, right, it was a nose, right? Oh, my. Remember, there are two holes or one hole. I don't remember those. I had a look. Where was it on the face? Because the me you're seeing now isn't the me. I mean, these hands, these fingers, this body, this face, it's not me. You want me? Let you meet me. Be careful, it's going to be a little gory. It's going to look like a sci-fi movie, okay? I'm going to show you me. Now, I can't really pull my head off and take the me out, but the me is deep in here. And part of Hashem's chachma is he fused these two me's together, because these are two me's. Take a second. They're two you's, right? Can you think about the two you's? Just step out of your box and think, there's the you, who you are, your values, your identity, your passions, your emotions, your skills, your dreams, your fears. And then there's your fingers and your eyebrows and your nose and your lips and your legs and your knees and your this, da, 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 da. Now, can we take that step back? They just feel so one. That's the Kaddish Baruch Hu's Chachma. He wants us to feel one. He doesn't want us to feel schizophrenic. He wants us to feel one. Good body, good mind. Work out, self-esteem. You look good, you know, dress properly. Hashem wants us. When we make a bracha, Asher Yatzar, you're not just making a bracha that it all works well. Nikavim, nikavim, chalalim, chalalim. You're making a bracha that Hashem created this miraculous hybrid of body and soul. You know, like I can mold things together. I can glue things together. If you ask me to take a soul and take a body, I couldn't do it. It just doesn't work. And all of a sudden, Hashem took your soul, put it in the body, and just feel one. You feel integrated. You feel living your life integrated. Hashem wants you to pay attention to your body. He wants you to pay attention to this world, but not to forget that in the next world, the two becomes one. In the next world, that other part doesn't exist. Not here. No body. No skins, no noses, no hair, no money, no culture, no people, nothing. It's a different world. And that's the real world. It's going to feel like, remember first grade, how heavy first grade felt and how exciting your first... Who can even remember grade 9? Anyone remember what happened in grade 9 or grade 8? It's like so far, so irrelevant. Who cares anymore? That's what Olam Haba will make Olam Hazeh feel like. So you'd think that the Torah should mention Olam Haba here or there. Like, tell us about it. Okay, don't tell us about it because we're not Muslims, because Muslims, all of my buzz, virgins and food and luxury. That's why the religion collapses, because you can't have a religion whose endpoint is pleasure. It just doesn't stack up. That's why we're folding on itself. But at least tell us. You'll get to Olam Haba. Don't tell us what's there, but just, you'll get there. Nothing. Just mention it once. Zero. We say, where I come from, bagel. Zero. Nothing. No Olam Haba. Where is it? The answer is the Torah does not want to present religion as a suppression of Olam Hazeh. And hold my breath for 50 years. Okay, am I there yet? Because it's really hard. It's making me crazy. All these laws, I hate them, but I gotta get in. So I'll hold my breath a little more. Am I there yet? Because that's a pretty, pretty childish way to view religion. It's not in my best interest, and it's like, I'd rather be in, and I'd rather be doing, and I'd rather be there, and I'd rather be here, and I'd rather be there. And but I'm holding my breath because I want to get into the big game, I want to get into the big time, it's worthwhile. Torah says, forget Olam Haba. It doesn't exist. If Hashem told me Olam Haba doesn't exist, I'd say, no problem. I didn't choose Olam Hazeh and this type of life because I want to get to Olam Haba, and I'm tossing me Olam Hazeh. I was your age, more or less, long, long time ago, American Civil War era, long time ago. I was a guy like you guys. I'm bald, pretty big hands, pretty important in basketball, had a scholarship to play ball in college. Yeah, regular guy, limped a little, hung a little. No real great plans for religion. I was religious because I was born religious. Then all of a sudden, I got to Gush in 1983, and I saw these incredible people. Like they were smart, and they were kind, and they were good husbands, they were good fathers, and they were idealists. And I gotta tell you, I'm a product of the 70s. I know this is going to sound a little bit odd, but this is the question we asked in the 70s. I said, what are these guys smoking? Like, what are they on? We lived in the 70s. If you could light it, you smoked it. That was basically the mantra of the 70s. Whatever worked. A different era. And I found out these people were smoking Torah. I mean, that's what's driving their lives. These people really love Torah, really study Torah, really integrate Torah, and they just become really good people. I said, I want to be like them, not because I want to get to Olam Haba, because finally I see a way for this world to make sense. I want to live that type of life. I want to be kind. I want to be smart. I want to be selfless. I want to, like, these are things I didn't have. Not like my life as a high school was a train wreck. You guys don't look like train wrecks. You guys are the most motivated group of you with them. You guys are serious train, serious guys. But do you see that religion and your kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you this type of a life? That's called religious maturity. That's the point that I want you girls and guys to start thinking about. Are you there yet? How can I get there? How can I see? It's not always going to make sense to you in the total scheme of things. You have to have a little patience. I remember also I was your age. I was in a mixed setting. A girl comes over to me and starts crying and bawling. She's going through something difficult at home. And she's just bawling her eyes out. So what's the natural reaction when someone sitting next to you is crying? Most natural, healthy human reaction. You put your arm around them. You console them. You caress them. You say, don't worry. Try to help them out. And I was about to. They said, no, Hashem's telling me not to. And it just didn't make sense to me. I was like 15 years old. And I'm like, why is Hashem banning me from something which is just so obviously humane and natural? Why is it just feels incorrect and untrue? And then I got married. And I realized Hashem wasn't telling me no. He was telling me not now. Because one day you're going to have a beautiful marriage. And that beautiful marriage is going to help you create a world. I'm busy creating a world. I have 8 children, 3 grandchildren. And not just my marriage, my love for my wife, my relationship with my wife. And we have this secret little language that no one knows. It's like we have our own language. And Hashem is saying, make sure you don't ruin that language. Make sure that the language you keep in tow, and one day it'll be something you feel uniquely. No, nothing else in your mind. No other images in your mind. Nothing about anyone else. It hasn't happened before. When I touch my wife's hand, it's electric. I can't describe why. We hold hands when walking in the park, it's electric. Because I've never held the hand of another woman. And it's just that feeling is not something I wouldn't change for. Can I tell you at the age of 15 that I could explain that? No. Sometimes you have to have a little patience. You let life happen. People sometimes say, like, what's the magic trait that you would try to install in today's world? Like, if you could try to change education and development. It's really trust. You have to find people that you trust, and you grow up in a world of distrust because everything appears one way and turns out the other way, and the politicians are all involved in scandals, and the sports heroes are all on drugs and production enhancing. It's just like you grow up in this world, and you think, well, I got to be careful because no one really is honest. No one really has integrity, and I got to be on guard because I can't be taken advantage. I'm here to tell you the world is made up primarily of really good people. You see the 5-10% that aren't so, and they capture your attention on social media, they capture your attention in the tabloids. Tabloids not going to say, Rachel did a great thing today, Sam went to school and followed his responsibility. They're looking for the tears and the fissures, the seedy, exciting, attention-grabbing. So you think the world is, it's not. And you have to find, especially as you have here, I'm seeing some of your teachers for the first time, you just need people whose eyes you can look into and trust and say, you know what, I see the way you're leading your life, I see how meaningful it is. Some of it makes sense to me now at the grand old age of 16 or 15 and 17. Some of it doesn't yet make sense. But I trust that it will make sense. And therefore, I'm going to engage. I'm going to invest. And I see the way you lead your life religiously. I wonder. When that happens, let me tell you what you become. It's a very interesting phrase. There are two mitzvahs that we feel emotionally. Most of the mitzvahs we have are physical mitzvahs. Take a lulav, eat a matzah, sit in a sukkah, hear a shofar, light a candle. The thoughts are all helpful. The thoughts are all enriching, but you don't need to think anything. It's halacha called mitzvahs ein tzuchas kavani. You take a lulav, you're yotzel. Those are the easy ones, the mechanical mitzvahs. Next layer of mitzvahs, those are the cognitive ones. What do you have to believe in? To believe Hashem created you. You have to believe Hashem is one. You have to believe Hashem isn't physical. You have to believe in this, believe in that. More or less the 13 of the Rambam. It's not as easy as this. Lifting, tell me to lift the table. Yeah, lift the table. I've got to learn, but I can learn. You tell me something, I can learn about it. Open a book, read about God, read about creation, read about, it's something I can acquire. There are two mitzvahs that are emotional. I have to build a relationship with a being I can't see and a being I can't know, because any word I use to describe him is simply inappropriate. And one of those is fear. So fear is easy. Fear doesn't mean fear. Fear means, I know I don't get him, therefore I'll submit to his will because I know that he's larger than me. Yirah Shamayim doesn't mean you're afraid of Hashem. Yirah Shamayim means you submit to the higher being. You know you can't know him, and therefore you just submit. But the other emotional trait is love. How do you love Hashem? You have to be an ohev Hashem. It's a mitzvah. You just said it. Be'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. You say it every day in Kriya Shema. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. There are two mitzvahs. It's an incredible concept. There are two mitzvahs that legislate your heart, which is hard. I despise chocolate ice cream. I love vanilla. My wife loves chocolate. Go figure. I hate it. How do you make me love something? But you know what? 2 weeks ago, my wife asked me to go get some Huggit and Ben and Jerry's. I wanted to pull the trigger on the vanilla, you know, good vanilla, cheesecake, cherry, but I said, you know, I'm doing it for her. I pulled out this super double fudge chocolate for her sake. And it was like 11:30 at night. She's already hibernating. I'm dying with some of that chocolate. You say, you know what? I'm going to try a little of this chocolate ice cream, and I'll make believe I like it. You know, it wasn't so bad. See, even though it's hard to change your flavor, at least when it's physical, at least, you know, I try to taste it. I was asking myself, I like chocolate. Why can't I have chocolate ice cream? I like chocolate cake. I was like, give it a whole sugya. Like, how can I get to like this? It's not so different. Chocolate raisins I like, but I got there. So I tasted, I played, How do you love a being you can't see? You can't envision. No, I can't get envision. You can't even describe. Ask me for a word to describe Hashem. If I answer your question, I'm a heretic. Because any word that I conjure comes from human experience, and it's simply incompatible with a very careful. You have 2 minutes now. He's not tall. He's not big. He's not fat. He's not... Because when you grow older, you love things not because they taste good, or they look good, or they feel good, or they move your heart like a movie. As you get older, you love the ideas and the people that make your life better. If you ask me, why do I love my wife? I've been married 30 years. Why do I love her? Because she changed my life in so many ways. I spent 30 plus years with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Have you heard of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein?
Yeah.
I loved him to death. I didn't love him to death because he tasted good, or he smelled good, or he was handsome. I loved him because of the impact he had on my life. If you see religion not as this heavy weight you're carrying through this world, I've got to hold out until I get to the next world, and it's killing me. But Hashem gave us a system of life that provides us with such content and such meaning and such opportunity and such a high lifestyle. That's why I love Hashem. Thank you. Think about what I just said. At some point on Shabbos, I want you all just to do one favor. You pick a point on Shabbos, whenever it is, and say, where would I be now if I weren't keeping Shabbos? You'd be in some sorry little fast food restaurant, having another taco and watching another football match. Wow. That's really life, right? Now you're moving into the fast lane. And where will you be? With friends, with family, with community, with people, reading, thinking, talking, playing games, advancing, disconnecting from this crazy world. So, I get it. I may not get it about everything else. You'll get it that moment about Shabbos. You may not get it about sexual rules. You may not get it about other aspects that kids your age struggle with. You got to trust me. Trust me. Look at these eyes. I am not here for my sake. I got better things to do on my one day in London, even though that's nice outside, to come speak to you stinkers. Yes, I care. I don't really care. If I can give you something and take it, I'm done. They're not paying me for this, okay? I asked Aviva. She said, maybe. She said, didn't come through. No budget. That's for you guys. Seriously. Those are the eyes you can trust. Well, it's not, I'm no interest. I want to make sure you guys get it, okay? Have a good Shabbat, everyone. Yes, Yashar Koach. Let's get some names. What's your name? Boys, girls, come. What's your name? Rachel? Lumgarden. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
What's your name?
I'm Zach Silverberg.
Zach Silverberg.
Silverblatt.
Silverblatt. What's your name?
Freddy
Chazan.
Natty Talisman.
Natty Talisman.
Thank you so much.
What's your name? Freddy?
Hassel.
What's your name?
Josh Miller.
Josh Miller. Nice to meet you. Sam? You're killing me, Sam.
Thank you.
Sam what?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, guys. Nice to meet you. Shabbat
shalom. Thank you very much.
What's your name?
Gabriella.
Gabriella what?
Sokol.
Sokol. Nice to meet you. Are you in grade 12?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Gabriella.
participant. I'm Mark Jacobs.
I'm a rabbi.
You're an adult, though.
Good?
You're an adult.
Yeah.
Hi, Joseph Miller.
Joseph Miller, nice to meet you. Is Mr. Miller here? Is that your brother?
No.
Do you mind this session with the OH?
It's a smaller group. A more intimate, or do you want to put your foe over here?
Mine's around the table.
So they're a bit younger, so not.
And they've got attention spans a bit limited.
How long are they?
3 hours?
Just 2 hours.
Now it's about 35.
And this is just boys?
Yeah, just boys.
There's a few of them who opted to have
graduate
studies
as
opposed to taking
exams.
What's
their age group? So they're 50, 14, 15.
Yeah. Yeah. They're quite vocal.
Yeah.
Should I get them engaged?
They're engaged.
They had attention to what they were following.
These ones are great, yes. These ones are more ADHD.
Four of them are ADHD.
They're both
good. Yeah,
and you're surviving. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me use the names.
Sure.
Yeah.